Session number 27247, Reel 5.
Frank Borlée, Reel 5. Now, we got to the point where we wanted to look at the lead-up to the D-Day operation now. How did it start for you?
Well, the very, very first inkling that we had something was going on was the fact that we were being introduced to German infantry weapons.
Now, tell us about that.
Well, the German infantry weapons, as you know, were the Schmeisser, like the equivalent to our Sten, and the Mauser rifle, the German stick grenade, how it operated on the, by pulling the strings and getting the correct amount of fuse time, etc., etc., and mostly quite a bit. Never went into anything more than the German infantry weapons. We was not surprised, but astounded at the quality of the weapon in comparison to our own, most of all, i.e. the Schmeisser machine, light machine gun, in comparison to our Bren, although we had been given a new type of Sten gun just prior to this. The other weapon that really, really astounded us was the MG-39. And I understand there was an MG-42, but we never saw that. They showed us the 39, which, to our amazement, as well as firing from magazines, could also be belt-fed and also was air-cooled. And these weapons really shook us, as I say, about the quality, and it looked upon the reliability of them.
You mentioned one thing. We haven't mentioned the Sten. When did you first get the Sten?
I should have told you right from the beginning that we've always had the Sten, but we found them were very, very unreliable.
In what way?
First and foremost, if you dropped them or anything like that, they would fire off a few rounds. A typical example was Lieutenant Wood on a night firing exercise fell over with his Sten gun and shot our platoon officer through the legs. That was very, very unreliable. The safety catch was just a simple push the bolt through a hole on the other side, which could get knocked out, and therefore the gun would... And being a gun that works solely on a recoil of a spring, you only had to bang the butt of it on the ground, and it would fire off a few rounds. It was very... I expect for a mass-produced weapon, it was very, very good, but... Other than that, I was never impressed with it anyway.
What about its firepower and accuracy?
Well, being a short barrel weapon, the accuracy wouldn't be what one would get from anything with a longer barrel. It wasn't a weapon I used a great deal. I only used it in the normal routine of learning the weapons of the platoon. I was never issued with one.
Okay, we'll leave this then, if you didn't, you know. Now, so you were introduced to the German infantry weapons. That was a bit of a shaker to you. This is sort of the we're on the lead up to D-Day. So what happened next?
Well, being introduced to the weapons and showing how they worked, and also we had, not that I don't think it registered a great deal, all the various German infantry markings, etc., etc., we was introduced to and shown on a small screen, etc., and I don't think they anybody took a great deal of notice of those. And then we started, much to our amazement, Major Howard came into the room one day and said that some various people in the platoon were going to be stood down. So he said that he had orders from the colonel that he was to find a platoon of men to form the 1st Air Landing Defence Platoon. Now, we couldn't make this out because we was the 6th Air Landing. And why the hell, if they wanted a platoon of men to look after divisional headquarters, why did they come to the 6th Battalion when they got the whole of the 1st to choose from? But he said he couldn't help it, so he stood down Holden, Winkworth, Clitheroe, out of our platoon to join it. And also, he took Garvey and Fry out and said they he didn't want them anymore. Fry was a personal friend of mine.
Now, on what basis had he selected the, or not selected these?
Well, he always said that Garvey was a bit of a scrounger. I don't know. I don't think he liked him all that much. Freddie Fry was very Bolshevistic, I know. He was quite a Bolshevik guy, but he was never a good soldier, which he proved later on. But Howard took those two out of our platoon.
So they were taken right out of the
platoon? Yes, yes.
The others were just stood down for the operation, were they?
The others were sent to Divisional 1 headquarters. A platoon of them in the end, but from my... It was only Holden, Clitheroe and from ours, and Winkworth from our actual platoon, and they was all KRRs, ex-KRRs, which shocked us a bit. He replaced those two with Dennis Edwards and Tom Packwood. They were the two chaps who took over Fry's and gave his positions. And then we started this extensive training, and we was getting allotted a TCV every morning, which really shook us, you know, a troop carrying vehicle, which would carry the whole platoon. We was practicing driving out to these bridges and God knows what all over, and also make-believe bridges fixed out by tape. And we had the fixed drills of what we were supposed to do, and then...
Now, what were these drills like? I mean, because we want to compare it with what really happened. What sort of thing would one of these bridge-taking exercises be? That's what it was, I presume. Taking and holding a bridge.
Yes. We had mock enemy on these areas as well. But the actual, what I'd noticed, the layout of the bridge and the position of where the peel boxes was identical on every mock operation, so it's fairly obvious what we was going to land on and what it's going to do. They already knew the fixed positions of all these various, i.e. the pillbox, the house, as it was called, which I now understand was the lock keeper's operating position. And they kept on about this bridge, and we went on and we was doing this on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
But you didn't know where this mystery bridge
didn't
was.
Didn't have a clue, didn't even know where we was going or anything else. And then came the word that we was going into transit.
A transit camp. Whereabouts in transit?
We went to in transit camp at Turret Rushton in Dorset.
Turret Rushton?
Yeah, Turret Rushton.
What was happening there?
Well, we was taken away from the main regiment, D Company, and two platoons of. Now then, that was 27 platoon and 22 platoon of C Company. Yeah. We was taken and put over to the other side of the airfield.
It was an airfield as well at Turret.
It was a glider airfield, and we was taken over to the other side and kept over there.
Now, when was and this? Is this in May?
This would have been approximately, yes, I would think about, I don't know exactly, but about the 19th, 20th of May, I would think. I think it was in transit for 10 days. I'm not quite sure the amount. Anyway, then we were assembled and marched to this hut where we were shown this layout, scaled layout.
A model.
Model.
What sort of a briefing did you get on that model? What did they tell you?
Well, they told us that this was going to be the sequence that we were going to take off. They didn't say it was at night. They said we'd be taking off and we would be landing, if possible, in sequence. And the sequence was 23, 24, that's right. The first sequence would be 25, 17 and 20, 1883 on the first bridge. I think I've got the correct sequence here. I might be a little bit out.
Were you told which bridge it was?
No. Didn't know where it was. We was told and explained it was a cantilever bridge that worked on the principle of water being pumped out of the Caen Canal into a huge container, and the weight of the water plus the cantilever would automatically lift the bridge. Being in the iron fighting business prior to this, I knew what cantilevers were, etc., etc. So they explained to us they told us the other was a fixed bridge, a fixture. It was an ordinary bridge over a river. Didn't say what the rivers were. And then I think it was about the fifth, been there about 5 days, and then they started talking about this place we was going to, being in France. And then they mentioned it was going to be in Normandy, which didn't mean a great deal to me anyway. Didn't even know where Normandy was, I don't think, except for William the Conqueror. And then they started giving us more details. Never once can I can ever ever telling us that it was in Ranville or Benneville or Eskerville or anything else. Can't ever remember any of that being mentioned. Excuse me. Can't ever remember any of that being mentioned as to where it exactly was. But we had this particular drill. We was introduced to the glider pilots who was going to pilot our gliders.
And who was your one?
Mine was Ainsworth and Jim Warwick. Jim Warwick was a pilot. Ainsworth was a navigator.
And any impressions of? I mean, he was what? He'd be a lieutenant. Was he a sergeant or?
They were sergeants in the pilot of the gliders.
And Ainsworth, do you know what the first name was? It doesn't matter.
I must sit and think sometimes, but
so what did you think of Warwick?
Jim Warwick. And Alan Ainsworth, that's right.
And what did you think of them?
Well, I was very impressed. They both had the military medal. And they'd won these military medals in their flying in North Africa and Sicily. And we was told that they was probably the best pilots that they had in the whole of the glider pilot regiment. But I expect there's many, many people would dispute that. But they were very, very experienced pilots, exceptionally experienced. And then we was given the briefing that we would be loading up approximately on the morning of the 4th. Well, before we loaded on the morning of the 4th, we went and got weighed.
Now, what was this about? Tell me about this.
Well, this was to get the correct weight of the glider, the glider load. I have still got the photocopy of the original document that was made on that spot. That was done by Bill Lamley, the company clerk. They weighed us on like farmer scales, for the want of a better word. There was and we was all weighed individually, all our weights recorded, because they told us we would be carrying a boat, a collapsible boat in the bottom of the glider. This was for the four engineers we was taking with us. The object of the boat was to get the engineers under the bridge to defuse. As we was told, the bridge was mined. And the object was these small collapsible boat would get the... We was also to carry a Bangalow torpedoes. This was to blow the barbed wire away from round the pillbox. And also to carry two pole charges. These were... Pole charge explained itself. There was quite a large amount of explosive on the end of a pole with a crushed detonator in them. this, you just squeeze the detonator and that would, and this was to blow the pillbox. And this is what we practiced. We practiced with the blowing away the barbed wire, getting up onto the embankment, getting a grenade through the pillbox, through the slot, and then to blow the door.
And how did you actually use the Bangalore torpedo? That was for the wire. How would you actually use it?
Well, it was like a long, it's like a length of tubular scaffolding, to be exact. This is filled with an explosive, which you push into the barbed wire, retreat to a safe distance, and then on explosion, on the detonation of the explosion, it cuts the barbed wire away, leaving a path through it. Well, then on the about 6 o'clock that evening, we was told we could go back to our tents.
This is on the 4th?
On the 4th, go back to the... But at about 6 o'clock they told us, I think 6 or 7 o'clock, they told us it had been postponed. We wouldn't be going that night.
How did you feel about that?
Well, in a way it was a big letdown, because we'd all sort of got ourselves acclimatised to the fact we were actually going that night. And then, I won't say the disappointment of not going, that wouldn't be true, because we hadn't got a tour, I think we'd been very happy. But they said that I was going to have to stand down for 24 hours. So we stood down for 24 hours, we just played cards and using the French fake money that we'd been given us. I was already gambling with that. Didn't reckon that very much, but then they gave us a film show in the afternoon. I can always remember the film show they gave us. It was a film called Cabin in the Sky, which was all coloured entertainers. Fats Waller, Lena Horne, man called Step In and Fetch It. I always remember that film very, very vividly. And I've seen it since the war too. And as I say, we was had the film showing off to bed. We was under canvas. And the next day, things were very much, the weather were okay to us. And then about... I think it must have been about 9:30. Told us to load up.
In the morning?
We'd already loaded the glider with the boat and the explosives the day before.
Was it in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, a.m. or p.m.?
Oh, this was p.m.
So how did you load the glider? Tell us about that.
Well, we loaded the glider by just simply getting the boat. That was a hell of a job to get the boat in. The base of the boat was as wide as the bloody base of the glider, practically. That meant that some of the chaps were going to be sitting very uncomfortably. But we got the glider in. Also, right out of the blue on that day, I remember that they said they were going to use an arrestor chute on the glider. Well, we'd never used the rest to shoot, and nobody else, I don't think anybody else had done so in the glider pilot regiment. It all seemed new to them, and it was a big discussion, didn't involve us at all, about using this rest to shoot. Now it was going to be deployed out the rear of the glider.
To slow you down in the...
Well, yeah, but there was no provision made on the glider for it to be done. So they come up with some... haphazard or some idea that it was anchored, the chute was anchored on the inside, and this would be thrown out the rear door on landing. This didn't apply to me. This was, I think the man who was in charge, I'm sure, was Corporal Bailey. Well, after all this was settled and we got everything in, and then we, I think it must have been about, I don't know exactly, but probably 9:30, something like that, we loaded up, or might have been earlier.
That's when you actually got
aboard. We actually all got in, 25 or two, and got into the glider, and we was towed off.
Now, where were you sitting in the garage? What was the arrangement when you got in?
Well, the arrangement, as it was all along, as you went into the door, on the right-hand side sat, well, as you know, the door, as you don't probably know, the door of the glider, you had three men on the left of the door, just three seats there. That was Major Howard, Lieutenant Brotheridge, and somebody else, I don't know who. Then the other side that was of that door was the number one section. Sitting opposite them was number two section. Then further down the glider, sitting facing the rear door, was the scout section, which was five men. Then in the tail rear of the glider was the four sappers and one lieutenant, which come, we didn't even know we was taking him, but we had in the afternoon of the 5th, we had a young lieutenant one pipper McKenzie, who was a liaison officer for the 7th parachute battalion, who was going to liaison with us after we landed. We was told that when we successfully was to capture the bridge, if we captured the bridge successfully, the 7th Parachute Battalion would be along to reinforce us by 1:30. So this was the liaison officer between us and the 7th Para Battalion who came with us.
Well, how were you feeling as you sat there, you know, in yourself?
I personally was quite frightened. I was quite frightened, not knowing what to expect. I was quite frightened.
What was the mood? Were men?
Well, the men took a. Some of the men took a sing-song mood along with them. And John Howard was encouraging them to sing along. And we took off. And
what do you remember of the takeoff?
Very, very good. No problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever, because sometimes if you got above the slipstream, it was a bit dodgy because you had to get down below the slipstream or up above it, whichever it may be, and you couldn't fly directly with the glider in tow with the tank plane, you catching the full first of the slipstream. So, but the flight in itself, as far as we were concerned, was quite good, no problem, no problem at all. Sat with our rifles and now between our knees, and also the chappies had their brens between their knees, and we took off. And I understand we joined in with a 1,000 bomber raid that was going on further into France to cover us in. The official report says that there was very little flak, that was true. Didn't get a great deal of flak. Could see it coming up in the distance, etc., etc., but personally we never encountered any. And we got to our...
Now, do you remember anything about the flight at all, or was it just fairly dull in one
sense?
Well,
all Howard said was when we got... Major Howard said when we got near the coast, that was to everybody to keep quiet. As he said afterwards, he didn't want people to look up and see a singing glider coming across. So we took off, and we didn't know the exact drill, what the glider pilots were going to do, because we didn't have a clue. All I can remember is after we cast off, we banked very heavily, and I could see this big red glow in the sky, which we flew over, which I now know to be the Khan iron foundry, and we made glider pilot shouted out, "We're making our approach." So we immediately linked all our arms together, which was the usual procedure, lifted our feet up off the floor, if you could, and just waited for the landing. Well, the first time we hit the deck, we expected to land about at 90 mile an hour, 80 to 90 mile an hour. I now know that we was well over 100 when we landed, miles per hour. We hit the deck, and lo and behold, before we knew it, we was airborne again. The wheels had come off the glider, and we was now on the skid. We came now with a terrific thud on the skid, on the metal skid underneath the glider. The chute parachute was thrown out the back door. This turned out to be absolutely useless. It caught in the undergrowth and snapped off. And we was in a shower of sparks. This was where the metal skid was running over the flints in the earth. And we come to a thuddering stop with a terrific bang.
Were you thrown about a lot while
it was? It was all right. We held on quite well. We held on to each other quite well. We had a then, of course, it was out of the glider.